Hey guys, welcome to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I am your host, Tony Peters. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. We are coming at you tonight, Monday night, October 25th. And it is about that time of the year, folks. We have got high school basketball about to start. The girls started this past week. This upcoming weekend, boys will be allowed to start. And then we'll be getting right into the season. So we at Southwest Ohio Full Court Press are excited for the upcoming season. It will be our third full year covering. And so we decided we're going to go ahead and get the year started off a little early and go ahead and bring you a couple episodes here the next couple of weeks, previewing the different leagues and conferences in the Dayton area, and even take a look at even some leagues and conferences outside of Dayton. We're looking forward to bringing that coverage to you. Don't forget to check out SWOFCP.com to check out our written content, which will include power rankings once the season does begin, game recaps from the games we do cover, as well as just rankings and other things we choose to put on that site. So tonight we're going to get things started with a preview of the Greater Catholic League, the GCL Co-Ed, as it's also called for short. The GCL Co-Ed, as we're going to talk about, had some changes, but not enough that you look at this league and say it's not a good league. It's one of the best leagues in Dayton, and I'm looking forward to covering it. So we are going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we will begin by previewing the GCL Co-Ed. All right. Thank you again for tuning in. Welcome back to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. Again, this is your host, Tony Peters, coming at you Monday night. We are going to go ahead and preview the Greater Catholic League. So the GCL looks a little bit different going into this upcoming season. Originally an 8-team league, it is now a 6-team league as Roger Bacon and Purcell Marion left for the Miami Valley Conference. Bacon was the second best team in the league a year ago, so they will lose that. Purcell was last in the league and went winless. But the remaining six teams, all very good programs. This season could be a little different than what we saw last year. So we'll go through alphabetical order, just kind of talk about the different teams and just kind of who they got back, who's missing, and what to expect. Starting with Alter, obviously, and if you've listened to any episodes we've done, any sort of written content, preview, whatever you want to look at, we're very high on Alter. The Knights are looking on paper to be the best team in the GCL yet again. They have Jacob Connor, a 6'9" senior committed to Marshall. Connor is a matchup nightmare for anyone in this league. One, he's 6'9". Two, he's a guard, but he can also play on the inside or more of a wing. And three, he's a defensive menace. 6'9", any shot that goes up at the rim, he's putting into the first row of stands. Offensively, he's shown a lot of unselfishness and ability to hit the shots that he needs to hit. Overall, he looks to be potentially the GCL player of the year. I'd say he is our preseason player of the year before we even start playing any basketball games. He has got a very good supporting cast around him, a very good group that has a very good chance of continuing the very high success that you see at Alter High School. Starting with the point guard, they will have Ryan Chu, a senior, for the full year this year. Chu transferred in from Bellbrook last season. He was ineligible the second half of the year. He'll now have a full season under his belt. We did see over the summer, Chu is one of the better passers you're going to find in Dayton. We've already seen quite a bit in this Fairmont Summer League, as well as clips from some of the multiple summer camps and team camps he's been throwing alley-oops to Connor. We're going to see a lot of that this upcoming season. Chu, very good at setting guys up at the rim. Definitely going to continue that success. Again, with a full season under his belt, the Knights are going to have a lot of chances to put big points up on teams. Then the junior trio of Anthony Ruffalo, Gavin Geisel, and A.J. Lean. You've heard it in past episodes. Ruffalo, a very good floor general and good shooter. Geisel was a dead-eye shooter for the longest time. He's really evolved his game into just more of an offensive player overall. And Lean, one of the better two-way kids in this league, being able he can score. He can easily put you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 points on a team. He's capable of doing it. And then defensively, his hustle and just intensity is tough to match, and it's exactly what Alter wants on the defensive end of the floor. they do lose Brian Shane from last year. Shane, a Miami, Ohio football commit. Shane was kind of like their enforcer. I do expect Lean to kind of take that role this year, being one of the tougher players on this team. And really looking at this altered team, they definitely look to be one of the deeper teams this upcoming season. You know, Coach Coulter's got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. This team is going to probably continue their tradition of playing 2-3 zone. It's worked up until this point. There's no reason they get out of it now, especially this year, the GCL being not as strong, I think, as it was a year ago. There's going to be a very good chance that 2-3 zone is going to be very, very effective. So we're going to find out here in these next couple of weeks and months with Alter, will they continue to follow that tradition? I do think they will. Moving into our second team, Baden. Baden last season was 10-14. Took me a second to read my notes. 10-14, struggled in the GCL last year. Unfortunately, they lost their head coach. They had a lot of players that were all league performers a year ago graduate, leaving a little bit of a void with the Rams. The coaching, they picked up Pat Creek, a former head coach of Fenwick, very, very good coach in the GCL, very well-known coach in the GCL. I believe he was an assistant at Baden before getting promoted to the head coaching job. He's got a pretty big task on his hands. He, again, has to replace a lot of scoring, a lot of rebounding. He's got two players in particular that I'm very, very optimistic about. Ian Saborin and Patrick Ray. Saborin, a senior, Ray, a junior. Saborin played well in AAU when I watched him over the summer. Again, being a senior, I think he's going to have a big role ahead. Patrick Ray is the player I'm really interested to see. He's a junior, 6'6". Showed a little bit of some inside-out play. Really, in the GCL, if you got a guy that's 6'6", that can play on the block, beat you up in the block, but can also have a little bit of a perimeter or mid-range game, that's a dangerous player to prepare for. With Baden, that's going to be, I think, a big role, and I think Ray is going to have a chance to kind of break out. This Baden team, there's a lot of question marks with beyond Ray and Saborin. Who's going to be those guys that step up? You know, Baden has not made a very deep postseason run in the past couple of years. They're just not. They just struggle to get through the sectional play. GCL is definitely tough enough. It's just they haven't had the right team yet. I think that Coach Creek, while he's a very good coach and very, you know, he'll adjust, have no problem adjusting. It's just going to be different this year, and I think Baden's going to need a year to kind of discover themselves and for them to kind of build this program the direction it needs to go before we see them competing for a GCL title. So I would say this season, you know, Baden should be able to do some good things, and I think they will be competitive at times, but they're not going to be competing, I believe, with Alter just yet for a GCL title. Continuing on our theme of losing a lot to graduation, we have Carroll. The Patriots, 500 finish on the year, 11-11. They pulled off, I would say, the biggest win of the tournament last year, shocking Dunbar in the tournament. Carroll with Coach Kogan, they have been a very good team come tournament time. You know, you ask these guys to play in the GCL. It's a very tough league to win in, but there's no denying that playing in the GCL really does prepare you for the tournament, as you're going to find out with the next team after this. But with Carroll, another good run to the sectional finals. But Carroll's in the same boat as Baden in that graduation hit them hard. Between losing guys like CM Sievert, they lost their size in Johnny Deep and Mauro Igadote. I pronounced that wrong. Sorry, Mauro. A lot of that size is gone. That's something that Carroll, I thought last year, had a very good advantage at, that they did have some bodies on the perimeter, the posts that they were able to utilize. They will not have that this year. They do return first-team All-League player Sean McKeetrick, who made first team as a sophomore. McKeetrick, very skilled guard. You know, good length at 6'3", very, very good shooter. If you watched him with Dayton Elite this spring and summer, He showed a very good knack for hitting the perimeter shot consistently. But now the tables turn a little bit. Last year, McKittrick, you know, was a role guy, I would say, with the Patriots. You know, he clearly was the go-to when they needed a shot down the stretch, but McKittrick was not a guy that was going to give you 20 a night. That's not how Carroll plays basketball. But I would not be surprised now with the amount of talent that has graduated if the Patriots try to lean on McKittrick a little bit more this year for their offensive output. Coach Kogan very much, you know, has made the culture at Carroll very focused on the team, playing defensive basketball, running your motion offense, getting good sets, and it has worked. Carroll has been competitive in games. It's been a while since we've seen Carroll be this competitive, not just in the GCL, but come tournament time. But there is no denying that when you look at the GCL as a whole this year, on one hand, it is kind of down, but the top half of the league is very good. That's where I think Carroll is going to get caught this season. Even with a guy like McKittrick, are they going to have the depth to play with an Alter or play with a CJ? I think they're going to have a chance to compete with Baden, Fenwick, and McNicholas, as you'll hear later on. But I think for this upcoming year, it's pretty obvious, at least in our opinions, Carroll is going to probably be in the middle of the pack. Moving on to Chaminade Julien, CJ, you talk about a team that really played well last season. CJ made it to the state semifinals before falling to Columbus St. Francis DeSales at UD Arena. CJ had a very interesting year last season. You know, they missed several weeks due to COVID. They struggled real early in the year, but by the time we hit February and March, they were playing their best basketball. The Eagles lose their two senior leaders from that team that made it a year ago, and AJ Solomon and Dan Nossi. Solomon, a point guard that's playing baseball at Gardner-Webb now, very easily, in my opinion, could have been a collegiate basketball player if he had chose that route. And then Nassif, who continued the tradition of being one of the better interior rebounding bigs that the Eagles seem to have pretty much every year. That's what's gone. What's back? Well, CJ's got arguably two of their best athletes in sophomore Jonathan Powell and junior Evan Dickey. Dickey, you know, the end of last year kind of showed what he's capable of in the tournament. Really played well during the AAU season, kind of have showed what he even more what he's capable of in terms of being a skilled scorer, just a very good athlete on both ends of the floor. Powell, as we saw last year in the tournament, you know, one of the better shooters and creators on the offensive end. He and Dickey are going to really be tasked with being those primary guys and hopefully be the ones that can fill the void that Nassif and Solomon leave. Now, the issue we have with CJ, it is very difficult to see a team that's two best players are a sophomore and a junior to make a deep postseason run. Only because when it comes to the matchups they will see in the tournament, all it takes is CJ getting a team that's senior heavy or junior and senior heavy, that's playing their best basketball or just plays a different style that CJ is not used to. And that's what exactly when you see these upsets happen in the tournament. I think CJ is clearly the second best team in this league. Even though they're a sophomore to junior, Dickey and Powell, that duo is still better than a lot of the top duos you're going to find that's remaining in the GCL. The big question is going to be, can the Eagles get past Alter? It's going to be tough. Alter's zone is something that plays into CJ's favor, that they've got shooters. Typically, if you got a team that can shoot the ball real well on the perimeter, it's going to beat a zone pretty easy. So if CJ's having a hot shooting night, very easily could beat Alter in one of their matchups. But one of the bigger questions will be with that, will CJ choose to face Alter in the tournament? That's going to be very telling of where the GCL is this year. The next team we have is the Fenwick Falcons. Fenwick, very similar to Baden in that they were hit with graduation. AJ Braun, their big man, 6'10 big man, now at Wright State after being one of the best players for the Falcons in the GCL the last couple of years. Fenwick also lost their coach, Kelvin Moss, who went on to become the coach at Middletown. For Fenwick, they're a young team, definitely a young team that's going to have a lot to learn very early on. This is a program that was really starting to make strides with Moss. It was unfortunate to see him leave because there was definitely a lot of optimism that Fenwick was going to take the next step this year. But obviously losing Braun is a tough pill to swallow. Not to mention just other guys like Will Richards, among others, that's now gone as well. For the Falcons, the big question is going to just be, you know, who's that next guy up? You know, and they have Coach Mike Hulweger, who comes over from Waynesville. Obviously had some success with the Spartans over in the Southwestern Buckeye League, but you're coming to the GCL. It's a whole different ball game. We'll see very early on what he has. Watching Fenwick play in Summer League, you know, they did have some sophomores and juniors they were going to. So this could, again, similar to Baden, this could be more of a learning year for Fenwick. You know, let's get these young guys an opportunity to play against some of the better teams that are more experienced. And you might get some bumps and bruises and you might get beat pretty big. But within the next 2 years, when those guys get older, they're going to have that varsity experience that gives them a real chance to be competitive and be back where Fenwick was, which was winning 17, 18 games and competing for a GCL co-ed title. Time will tell with this team what this year looks like, but I would say it's going to probably be a learning year curve, which leads us into our final team in the GCL co-ed, which is the McNicholas Rockets. McNicholas had a very, very successful season last year, 20-win season, a regional semifinalist. Unfortunately, they fell short to Bishop Watterson out of Columbus, who nobody really saw that coming, minus maybe the guys in Central Ohio. But Watterson got hot at the right time and found themselves playing for a regional final, beating McNicholas first. For McNicholas, continuing the theme that we've seen in the GCL, graduation. The Rockets watched four all-district players this from last year all leave the program due to graduation, thus leaving a pretty big void for the Rockets of who's going to kind of step up. However, unlike some of the other teams like Carroll and Fenwick and Baden, McNicholas does have a couple of guys that have played pretty well. Most notably, Trey and Ethan Gardner. Trey Gardner, who's a senior, came off the bench for the Rockets a year ago. 6'6", lengthy kid, really good rebounder, good shot blocker, very skilled overall, and he was playing with the Mid-Ohio Pumas this year. He now will probably be leaned on to be that kind of leader. He's going to be looking to fill the void that Nick Schultz and Caden Conrad had a year ago, being bigger guys that can anchor the block, defend the bigs when you need to, and again, just finish possessions on the defensive end and on the glass. Ethan Gardner is another player the Rockets have in a related to Trey. If he's anything like his brother, good chance you're going to see McNicholas have very good success on the glass. Another player, Tyler Haynes, he's a junior. He played well during the AAU season. Again, the Rockets have a little bit more players, I'd say, that give them that kind of ideal that maybe they can be competitive still. You want to think that some of these guys were part of this team that made the run last year. They're going to keep that hunger going. But there's no denying when you lose four guys that were all district or all league performers, that's tough to replicate and that's tough to replace. I do think Coach Mormon in McNicholas will continue to be competitive. You're looking at, in my opinion, a top four finish, and we'll see kind of with Cincinnati. Cincinnati as a whole is a little bit down in Division II this year, so McNicholas could make some noise, but we'll just kind of see what happens. So we're going to kind of go into another segment here, and we call this ceiling and floor. Want to kind of talk about, we've kind of given you a recap of the six teams. Who's back, who's not back, kind of some thoughts. Ceiling and floor is kind of where we see these teams in terms of the ceiling being what is the highest or the best finish they could have, and the floor being what could be kind of their struggles. The league as a whole, I think their ceiling is definitely they've got potential to have two teams playing for district tournaments. I think Alter and CJ, depending on where they choose to go in the bracket come sectional draw, they're both very capable of playing for a district title. you know, the other four teams, is it possible? Obviously, anything's possible, but it's going to be tough to do what CJ and Alter do with the talent and the depth that they both have respectively. For Alter, their ceiling is definitely going to be, I think, a regional finish. You know, obviously, you want to think they could maybe be a state contender. They might be the best team in Southwest Ohio. I don't know. But I think that on paper, a regional finish is definitely very likely for the Knights. That's probably the highest they could get. Their floor, obviously, you know, the sectional. I think all the teams, their floors are sectional, getting knocked out early. For Alter, I'd agree. Last year, they got beat by a CJ team that knew them pretty well and knocked them out. That was definitely hard for them to watch. You would think that they're not going to let that happen again this year, but you never know what the matchups look like. CJ, their ceiling, again, definitely a district. I think a district runner-up or a district championship. So a regional appearance is very likely or possible. Again, just depends on that youth. And those are definitely your top two teams, I would say, in the GCL. McNicholas, their ceiling is definitely, I'd say, a third-place finish in the GCL and at least a sectional championship appearance down in when we get to the sectional tournament. It just depends. Even though Cincinnati's down in terms of Division II, I do think that the Rockets could run into a team or two that could challenge them. When you lose the talent they've got, the guards they had a year ago, you're asking a lot for them to continue that going into this year. Baden, their ceiling, I'd say Baden, Fenwick, and Carroll, all their ceilings are definitely, you know, sectionals as well. You would hope that a team like Carroll with a kid like McKeetrick or Baden with Ray, Patrick Ray, you know, they might be able to knock off a team in the sectional tournament, but it just comes down to the matchups at the end of the day. So lastly, we're gonna kind of very quickly say who our first team, our superlatives. Again, preseason player of the year is probably got to be Jacob Connor. It's really hard to have a conversation beyond Connor. I think he's clearly the best player in this league. I'm going to go with him to also be on my first team preseason All-GCL. Jonathan Powell from Chaminade Julien, I'm going to go with him for our first team. Sean McKeetrick from Carroll, he will be the other one. That's three. Let's go with Evan Dickey from CJ will be four. Anthony Ruffalo from Alter will be five. And then let's change it up. Trey Gardner from McNicholas will be the sixth. So that's who I'm going to take as my first team all GCL this year. So with that, that will conclude and wrap up our first podcast episode here with our preview. Again, GCL, with the only being six teams, there's really not a lot to discuss with this. Again, Alter and Chaminade Julien are probably your two best teams, but that's not to say that a McNicholas or a Carroll or a Fenwick or Baden could shock us all and bring in a team that does, you know, exactly what we're not expecting. It's when you least expect it when you see these teams make the deep runs and the big wins. So definitely the GCL will be a fun league to watch, an interesting one to watch in terms of Division II in Dayton. So with that, we will wrap this episode up. Again, this is just part one of hopefully a couple different episodes in the next couple of weeks. We are definitely looking forward to the upcoming season, following teams like Alter and CJ, and we hope you're excited too. So with that, signing off is Tony Peters. Thank you again for tuning in to Southwest Ohio Full Court Press, and we will catch you the next episode.